Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Lola, Owners, and Lady Killer.
Have three films I'd like to talk about this week, which are available in different ways. The first one is very much in theaters, Lola, and it's also streaming. So you can see it either way. And it's called Lola, but it is usually spelled in different ways of doing this in different parts of the internet that you see, but I'm not sure. I think what the actual distribution company prefers is all uppercase letters, so the title is not Lola, it is Lola. Anyway, it's called Lola, and it is a science fiction movie, and it is about one of the most reliable of all science fiction themes, time travel. But it's an unusual take on time travel in various ways. It's a low-budget movie, but interestingly, the filmmakers have kind of used this particular format as a way of getting around some of the low-budgetness of the film. Also, it was shot during the coronavirus lockdown period, but again, the format that they've chosen kind of helped them to get around that problem a bit. And that format, which I've mentioned, is that it's to some extent a found footage film, which is to say a lot of it consists of material which either has been, was made for other movies before now for other purposes and are now being recycled in this movie, or were shot by the filmmakers to look like found footage stuff, to look like it was material that was shot for other purposes for other movies in the past and is now being recycled in this way. So again, we have a movie which is really very clever in some of the ways that its own production works itself out. I should mention that it was directed and co-written by Andrew Leggy, and it's his first film, and it is a British-Irish film. So I think actually Irish UK is the correct designation. So here is what Lola is about. It is about a couple of sisters whose names are Thomasina and Martha, better known as Tom and Mars. And this is way back in the early 1940s. The movie begins about 1941. And they are working on an invention. And they come up with an invention, and it's sort of like television. You look at it, you look at the screen, and of course there was such a thing as television in 1941, although hardly anybody had it or knew what it was, but it, you know, it did exist in the real world. But they've invented this thing which is rather like a television. However, what's unusual about this television, and now we start to get into real science fiction, is that it appears to be showing the future. And it turns out that it is showing the future. Well, this is really interesting because we're talking about Great Britain here, and we're talking about Great Britain in 1941. And what is happening? Well, World War II is going on and is cranking up very, very rapidly and alarmingly and horribly in all kinds of ways. And now we have these two young women who are not involved in politics or anything else, but they have devised this machine which can enable them to look into the future. So that is what the movie is about. And we have all kinds of things that grow out of this, all kinds of complications and all kinds of twists and whatnot. And again, all of this is shown in material that rather looks like it was filmed way back at the time. And the movie doesn't stay in 1941. It moves on. And very often it is kind of difficult to tell whether this material was filmed by the filmmakers of the movie we're watching or whether it's been recycled from earlier things. Of course, eventually Adolf Hitler comes on the scene. And by that time, we know that we are looking at material that was shot back at the time, but it's cleverly done. The whole melding of different kinds of footage is cleverly done and effectively done. Now, this is partly for technical reasons, which I just want to mention here, because the filmmakers Andrew Leggy and company clearly went to a great deal of trouble to accomplish all of this. Back in 1941, there simply were not lightweight, handheld, effective filmmaking materials. They existed, but they were not very widespread. You couldn't really find them. So, of course, a lot of filming was done, particularly by the United States Army Signal Corps, for example, during World War II, using fairly light and portable equipment. But it was not in ordinary hands. So the filmmakers have sort of had to face that a bit. And a lot of the material that was in the movie was shot on 16mm film, which is not theatrical film, but it's excellent film. It gives you a terrific image. And they used a lot of lenses from the period when the movie takes place, back in the early to middle 1940s. Newsreel scenes, the bogus newsreel scenes, the fake news made for the purpose of this movie that's meant to look like real news, were shot on an actual 1930s 35mm camera, which is very interesting, using a kind of film which gives you the appropriate looking image. Then apparently a good deal of the film was processed using a developing process from back in the Soviet era. So again, a lot of period vintage equipment was used in making this film, which helps it to achieve its fairly authentic look, even though it's a science fiction movie, we're meant to take it pretty seriously. And by the way, even though the movie is pretty whimsical, it definitely has really serious themes. I already mentioned that Adolf Hitler is one of the minor characters in this movie, minor in terms of screen time, not minor in terms of what he does. So we're meant to take this movie seriously in a lot of ways, but the movie is entertaining as well. Some of the music, for example, it's got Space Oddity by David Bowie. It's got You Really Got Me by the Kinks, although that's kind of reworked. And then there's some classical music in it too. So all of this gives it an interesting and kind of eclectic feel. Now, Lola has gotten just excellent reviews from about a jillion critics, and I can't say it's a great film. It's sort of a minor movie. It's diverting. It's fun to watch. I always enjoyed it, but it hasn't made a very powerful impression on me, and I think that there are much more impressive science fiction movies dealing with time travel that have been made over the years. That said, Lola is clever, it's inventive, it's fun to watch, and I recommend it. Lola, well worth seeing, and if you're a science fiction fan, and especially if you're a time travel science fiction fan, it is not to be missed. Next, I would like to turn to a movie which is called Vlasnitsy, or Owners. It is a movie from the Czech Republic, and it was written and directed by Jiří Hvelka. And we don't see that many movies these days from the Czech Republic in American distribution, but this movie has come to theaters, and I recommend it. It's a good movie. It's a lot of fun to watch, again, and it has some very serious themes. So, it is called Owners. That's the English language title, and it is about a co-op board. That is, we have here a cooperative apartment building, and we have a meeting of the board, and not the whole movie, but almost the entire movie takes place in the one medium-sized room where the members of the board are sitting around a table and working on things and arguing about things and having feuds with one another and so forth and so on. So we have a movie here where almost the whole thing takes place in one room. And there have been a lot of movies made like that before. A very recent example is The Whale, a very huge movie of last year. And I actually think Owners makes better use of its one-room setting than The Whale did. I am not a big admirer of The Whale, and I think Owners is more inventive in its use of one single set. Anyway, so what we have here, as I mentioned, is a whole bunch of people, ordinary people, everyday people, in, of course, the post-Soviet bloc era in the Czech Republic and the post-revolution era when the Czech Republic split off from Slovakia. And so some of those major upheavals and those major tumultuous events are very much in the air. There's one old guy, for example, who frequently alludes to those things and refers to those things and wants those things to be taken into consideration in various ways, which are obviously very personal to him, even though these are vast political events and geopolitical events that affected everybody. So that's very much in the air. But mostly, the movie is not geopolitical in its interests. It's mostly kind of psychological in its interests. And don't take that too heavily. This movie is basically a comedy. It's a dramatic comedy, but it is a comedy. And so the psychology is often sort of whimsical. And we're meant to see these characters as, oh, slightly eccentric, slightly peculiar. Sometimes the ones who seem most normal as the movie proceeds along its way are the ones who turn out to be, when they're getting going, gets a little bit tough, the toughest and strangest. And then other times people who seem like they're going to be really difficult in the beginning turn out to be not so difficult after all. And in other cases, our expectations are borne out. So what I'm basically saying here is that it's a little bit hard to predict where this movie is going to go in terms of its different different characters. And occasionally it does move out of that one room. And then we have slightly different things happen. But again, mostly this is a single set movie, and it manages to keep that lively and interesting throughout its running time of, you know, approximately an hour and a half. So who are some of these characters? Well, one woman who is chairing the meeting is extremely rigid, and she demands that the rules be followed. And if anybody wants to vary a rule, even in the slightest way, then there has to be a vote about that. And every time there has to be a vote about something, or almost every time, then there's a question about how the vote will properly be taken and who's going to vet the vote and how are they going to authenticate the vote and this kind of thing. So that's one of the characters. There are some newcomers, a new couple that just moved in, for example, a very young man and his Japanese wife, who apparently her speaking abilities are not really strong, and they sort of sit in the background, but every once in a while they become involved. And since the wife of that couple is very pregnant, that also provides a little bit of complication. Oh, there are other characters too. I won't go through them all, but they're a varied lot. As I mentioned, there's an old guy who still feels the weight of the recent political upheavals very strongly and wants that to be taken into account in various ways. So we have, again, a combination here of newcomers, of people who have been around a long, long time. The people who have been around a long, long time often think that they ought to be controlling the whole show. The newcomers think, well, wait a minute, we really ought to be in on this too. We do live here now. We are owners in this enterprise. And then, of course, there is the very rigid woman who is chairing the whole thing. And then there are a couple of brothers who are brand new residents. They're twin brothers. And it turns out by the time we get into the very last part of the movie that there is much more to these two guys that meets the eye. They are a very nice-looking young man. They are extremely polite. All they want to do is cooperate and go along with everybody else. But again, it turns out that there's a whole lot of stuff going on here that nobody is prepared for. So I had a great time watching Owners. It's a really entertaining and interesting movie. And one of the things that interested me about it as an American viewer is that so many of the things that come up, so many of the things about ethnic problems, prejudices, biases, racial problems, prejudices, biases, again, with different ways of manifesting themselves. We have the Czechs and the Slovaks, for example, but so similar to the kind of things that go on in America. And these days, I don't live in a co-op, but I have in my time, and I know that those boards meetings can be a bit difficult. So I think that for American viewers, Owners is a terrific movie to look at. You'll have a good time looking at it. It's dramatic comedy, but it's very much a comedy, and it's very entertaining. And the final movie today, Lady Killer. Now, this is a revival. This is a movie from way back in 1937, directed by the very major French filmmaker Jean Grémion. And the actual French title is Gueule d'amour, which basically means speaker of love, because this guy is a lady killer in the sense of he really does very well with the ladies. He is a lover boy. He is a romance artist. And he is known for that. He's also, by the way, a very nice guy. So even though there are people who really don't like him because he's too successful with women, the women love him because he's really a lovely fellow. And he is played by the very lovely French actor Jean Gabin, one of the great major stars of classic French cinema. And he is at his absolute best and is absolutely most charming in this movie. He is a soldier, and that gives him a lot of opportunity to sort of roam around and meet a lot of different women. He's a good soldier, gets very along very well with his commanding officer, gets along very well with his comrades and so forth. But early in the film, he meets a woman. And this woman, whose name is Madeleine, played by Mireille Balin, she is very, very obviously upper crust lady, very rich, very proper, very correct, and obviously loaded, loaded, loaded with money. So they have a chance meeting in a telegraph office, a cute meet, as they say in Hollywood. And the next thing you know, they're getting involved with each other. There's a little gambling activity involved, and she needs some money, and he lends her the money, and then she does not pay the money back. But he seeks her out, but he's not seeking her out to get the money back. He's seeking her out because he's become captivated with her, and he puts his lover boy mouth to work on her, and before you know it, they're a real couple. But they're not a real couple, because it turns out that his feelings for her are entirely sincere. He's a lady killer, but only in the nicest way, and he really, really loves her, and he's willing to give up all of his other girlfriends, and in fact he leaves the army. That's okay, because his enlistment was just about up, and he takes a job in a printing plant so he can be nearer to her. But she, it turns out, is not nearly as sincere as he is, and she has another man, a rich man, on the string, and all kinds of complications ensue. That's what the movie's about. And I will just reveal the following, that by the time we get to the very end of this French movie, the title, the English language title, Lady Killer, does take on a different meaning. I have read that this movie has been called a film noir. It's not in any way a film noir. I've read that it's part of the poetic realism trend that French cinema had for a few decades back in the pre- and post-World War II periods. I don't think it really falls into that either. It's just a lovely little drama, not a melodrama, although it has some melodramatic moments, and it's beautifully acted by Jean Gabin, Mireille Barrin, and a few other people, and it has a small cast and only a limited number of settings. Some of it has out in the rustic areas of France. Some of it has right in the hustle and bustle of Paris. Some of it takes place in a couple of little bistros. Some of it takes place in the rich lady's apartment. We also meet her mother, who is not a very nice woman. It's just a lovely little drama. It's starting to open in theaters in America. Again, it's a revival from 1937. I welcome these revivals. It's just great, even in this era of streaming, that movies are still getting out before the audiences who don't have a whole lot of streaming resources. And I found Lady Killer just an irresistible and beautiful little French drama. So I totally recommend it. Gueule d'amour, Lady Killer, France, 1937. If you can possibly get to it, do so. It's a lovely movie. And that is my pretty diversified story this week.
For which we thank you as always and ever, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Lola, Owners, and Lady Killer.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.